morning, everyone. It is so great to be here. I want to give a shout out to the worship team right here. How amazing are they? I mean, we have such a talented worship team. And also for Manny doing such an awesome communion. Great message and amazing reminder. And this morning, I'm excited because I've been promoted from announcement guy to... I'm just so honored and so excited to be preaching this morning. But my name is John Novak, and I serve as an intern here at the Garden State Church. And what I want to talk about this morning is a topic that has really transformed the way I think, and something that I think no matter where you're at spiritually is something that could be transformative, and a topic that, you know, if taken seriously, will change the way that you react in every situation, and it will help you be more joyful through any circumstance. It will help you live a more Christ-centered life. And what we're talking about this morning is this idea of contentment and satisfaction. But to start off here, I want you to think back to a time in your life where you felt the most happy. And then what was it that connected the dots between you and being the most happy? What was it for you? And honestly, this is what people are looking for, right? This is what we want to know, is what is it that could really make us live happy lives? What is it that could make us live joyful lives to the full? And you know, that's what we're trying to answer for ourselves too. And everyone in the world is looking for this. Everyone in the world is looking to be satisfied by something, right? We all desire to live happy lives, but due to our circumstances, we all know it can be hard to feel that. you know, some people look to money, others to pleasures. Maybe it's a relationship, a position, maybe even, you know, personal righteousness. Maybe it's your own character. That hey, once I reach this certain level of character, then I'll be satisfied, right? But imagine if you could be satisfied or happy no matter where you're at, no matter your circumstances. And what if I told you that there is a secret? We'll get there. But we're going to start here in Philippians 4, verse 10 to 13. Oops. Yeah, there we go. It says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I could do all this through him who gives me strength. Such a powerful scripture here. But Paul saw that the Philippian church, they were concerned for him. But then he says, like, okay, you actually don't need to be concerned for me because I've learned to be content in this. He's actually learned to be happy despite his circumstances. Because the context here, and this is important to note, is that the context is that Paul is writing this letter in prison. He's single, and he's being, like, really mistreated. He's being persecuted majorly. And if you go down a little bit in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Right? If I wrote this in prison, I'd be like, get me out of here at all costs, right? Get me my PlayStation. Send me some good food, right? But the question that we're trying to answer is, how could Paul be rejoicing while he's in prison? How could Paul be rejoicing? How could he be happy while he's being mistreated despite his circumstances? Right, and this is what we're going to try to answer today. We're going to look at the secret that he's learned. And in verse 7, in Philippians 4, verse 7, Paul talks about this peace that transcends understanding. And that the fact that Paul learned to be happy despite his circumstances. He said he learned the secret of being content And honestly, what is it, Paul? Tell us. And so that's the title of my message this morning, is The Secret of Happiness. The first point that we got here is the surpassing worth. And this is, we're going to look, take a step back and see what Paul says here in Philippians 3, verses 4 to 6. He says, "If someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless." Paul basically just describes his life here before he had become a Christian. He says, right, in regard to the law, he was a Pharisee. He reached the tip of the iceberg. He was on the top. He reached the highest level in the Jewish faith. And as for zeal, he was persecuting the church, which was viewed as a good thing to him, and was admirable. And he says, righteousness based on the law, faultless. And what that means is, when it came to the Jewish law, he did everything right, which is really impressive. And if salvation was possible through the old Jewish law, Paul would have been the most qualified to receive it. But then he continues, right, in Philippians 3, verse 7 to 9, he basically like reassesses his spiritual life. It says, "But whatever were gains to me," right, everything that he just described, "everything that were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that is which, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." So Paul goes from saying all these things he could boast in to now calling them garbage. He could have been satisfied by a lot of things, right? All these things that he's done in his life. And he saw that knowing Jesus would be worth more than anything he could possibly do, be, or achieve. In fact, he considers them all garbage because this comparison of knowing God versus everything that he had done, such a drastic change. And he had contentment in this for a while, right? But I want to ask the question of it, what are the things that you're trying to find contentment in? What are the things that you're trying to satisfy yourself with, right? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a relationship. Sometimes for me, it could be my performance, right? I could only be satisfied if I do a certain good job at my, you know, whatever I'm doing. I could base my success based on things I've done in the past, right? But here's the secret. Paul learned to base his happiness not on his circumstances, but based on God's character and the value of following him. He learned to be content with what he had in God, and not in anything else. And honestly, if you look at the book of Job, it's the same theme, right? He had terrible circumstances, but he made it through because he didn't follow God based on his circumstances. He followed God based on his character, based on God's character, and for what the value of following God is, right? These men learned the secret of deep peace based on detachment from their outward circumstances. The secret is learning how to trust God, not because of your circumstances, but because of who God is. Then you will truly be happy wherever you are. The secret is realizing the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And that's what Paul says in verse 7 right there. And this deep peace that Paul has, it came from his concentration on the really important things. The invisible and the eternal, and his closeness to God. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. You know, and I don't know what everybody here is going through. Maybe you're going through the ringer right now. or maybe you're doing really well spiritually, but I don't want to demean whatever it is that you're going through, but I do hope that this is encouraging. I do hope that this does give you hope that God is good and that you could trust it. But you know, let's just be a church that focuses on the important things, right? Not on the things that are in front of us, but on the things that lie ahead. And a challenging quote that I heard was, hey, if you can't be content right now, you'll struggle to be content in the long term. And maybe you're relying on yourself too much to get yourself where you want to, right? Or maybe you're in a place where you're doing well spiritually, but if it depends on you, it can't be depended on. Right? Learning to be dependent on God despite really good or bad circumstances is the secret here. And one way to learn this and to grow in this is to meditate on what it is that comes with following Jesus. And to answer the question of, hey, why can I be satisfied with just Him? Why can I be satisfied with God alone? That's the question that, it's a really important question to answer for yourself. And if it's hard to answer that, it's going to be really hard to be content in various circumstances. And I would encourage you to think about this question for yourself and that you could be satisfied with God. And I spent some time thinking about this and why I could be satisfied with God. And, you know, I think for me, he gives you a purpose and a mission, right? A mission that's like no other. A mission like no other in the world is a mission that you could have an eternal impact, right? He wants to use you to touch the eternities of others. He also wants to give you people to partner with. He wants to be who will be at your side, right? He gives us His church. He offers you eternity. And you could even be satisfied with God because He offered His Son to die because God saw that heaven without you would be more painful than Jesus going to the cross. Heaven without you is more painful to God than Jesus going to the cross. You could be satisfied with God because of His immense love. What you have in knowing God surpasses everything, and it's about going back and remembering what it is that you truly hold in following God. Right? I mean, if you won the lottery, let's just say you just won $100 million, right? That'd be great. And, right, maybe you had straight cash, right? Maybe you'd hide it away somewhere. But wouldn't you just go and, like, go just look at it every once in a while? Flip through it just to see and look at it. And, you know, that's what we have with God, but even more valuable than that. Right? Go back and look at what you have in Christ. And when we're familiar with this, we could learn the secret for ourselves. Notice that Paul says he learned the secret. Right, it's something you have to think about and study out. And maybe in your times with God, take the time to think about what you have because of Jesus. Sort of like what Paul did in Philippians 3, right? He reassesses his spiritual life. And you know, this first point was about being content with what we have in God and how that will change your life. And now the second point is how now contentment will actually add to your life. And so the second point is contentment is gain. And we know we could be content with God alone, and you know, it's something that, you know, has to be learned, but sometimes when it comes to contentment, we could think kind of like, hey, once I get this, then I'll be content, right? Once I gain this, then I'll be content. And the second point is about how the Bible actually flips this around. In 1 Timothy 6:6-10, and this will be kind of the main thing here we'll stay in. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation, in a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The Bible says that contentment with godliness, or godliness with contentment, is gain. But we always think, hey, I need to gain if I'm going to be content. Right? We get it flipped, right? It's, hey, I'm content with Jesus and blank, right? Whatever that is for you, marriage, status, money, right? A lot of times I could find myself the idea of, hey, I need Jesus and this. And, you know, Jesus and a relationship, Jesus and a steady bank account, right? Then I'll be happy. But when you could get rid of that and just be okay with Jesus, that's where God wants you to be at. Right, but this is kind of like the paradox, right? Like, we think, hey, once I gain this, then I'll be content. But the Bible says, hey, you need to be content, and then that's the gain. Right? That's like the paradox. It's the other way around. And if we're not careful, though, we could become more focused on these other desires and other demands in life than Jesus. Right? You could start to place your identity in trying to find yourself and trying to find fulfillment in success and status and substances, a social group, right? Pleasing people, right? Getting your value from people. And I want to encourage you, don't let Jesus go from being your main priority to being something you try to squeeze in if you have time. Right? That's the thorny soil, right? If you read the parable of the sower, it says that this thorny soil are the ones who let the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for pleasure choke out the word. Right? But here's the point, though. If you're not content with God, how could you be content if you get something less? Also to note, real quick, that it says godliness with contentment is gain. Right? And godliness, what that means is like a devotion to God. Right? You are devoted to following God and his commandments. And so I didn't want to just skip by that. But you know, God offers the greatest gifts of all. Right? They're so good that these other things that we tend to go to, our desires and these demands in life, they really do not pale in comparison, right? That's why Paul says, hey, I consider these things garbage because of the surpassing worth of knowing God, right? You could consider these things garbage, right? But first, we need to see and just try to get your joy from God, because when you do, you'll see that these things really do not compare. And it kind of reminds me of my nephew, Bradley. He's 7 years old. And every time I'm at my brother's house eating dinner, he just loves like the most basic foods, like chicken tenders, red lentil pasta. And Rob, my brother, is like a master chef. He's making all these amazing burgers and chicken sandwiches. And when offered, Bradley will always take the red lentil pasta. And I'm like, Bradley, what are you doing? Like these glorious burgers, right? And I'm like, Bradley, if he just tried it, then he would never go back, right? Like, if he just tasted it, he would never go back to that thing, the red lentil pasta, right? I mean, I look at that, and I consider the red lentil pasta garbage because of the surpassing taste of these burgers. And that's Paul's comparison there. And if you knew the value of God, you'd never go back. Right? We know that God is better than these things, but do you really know the value of God over these other things that we're trying to satisfy ourselves with? And, you know, the issue comes in not realizing what's really behind this is better. The reality, according to the Bible, is that contentment is gain. And if we want to gain, we have to seek God first. And this is a really common theme in Scripture, right? If you consider Matthew 6:33, right, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Right? It starts with seeking God first, right? Being content with seeking God before anything. Right? And then again in Psalm 37, verse 4 to 6, it says, take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Right? It says contentment, right? Delight yourself in the Lord. And godliness, that's commit your way to the Lord, right? Godliness with contentment is gain, right? And it starts off with delighting, right? Being happy with God. Delighting in God comes before this righteous reward. And that word delight means to be pleased with. It means to be very happy because of something. And this is the secret that Paul found. And to put it plainly, is that Paul delighted in God. That was the root of the secret that he found. And honestly, in all of this, I think God just wants to be enough for you. That's it. God just wants to be enough for you. The truth is that when you delight in God and you truly take your joy from him, your desires change, right? And that's the dangerous interpretation of this scripture is that, hey, you go to God and he'll give you prosperity and everything that you want, right? But the truth is that when you delight in God, your desires do change. And delighting in God makes you ready for what will come, right? Good or bad, right? It's going and delighting in God does bring change to your heart. Your circumstances might change, but you'll learn to be okay with just God. And this is the same idea as like surrendering to God, right? If you want to work on your surrender, try to learn how to take your delight in God, and it will lead you to a place of surrender. Right? And these things that you gain aren't always physical, right? The quality of contentment is the gain itself. In 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, if you look at it in the Voice translation, it says, this is ironic because godliness, along with contentment, does put us ahead, but not in the ways some imagine. Godliness with contentment does put us ahead, right? It is gain, but not in the way some think, right? Because then if you go back one verse in 1 Timothy 6:5, it talks about how there are people who think that godliness is a means to financial gain, right? How they have been robbed of the truth. And this scripture in 1 Timothy that we're based in, it warns us about going to money for satisfaction. And in Ecclesiastes 5:10, says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. And dang, right? It's a powerful scripture. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about the money here, but I do want to acknowledge that, yeah, like the temptation for money, it is real because sometimes it could really seem like money would just solve all your problems. But really, this is the reality, is that you'll never actually be satisfied. If you go to wealth for your contentment and satisfaction, you'll never be satisfied. The reason for this is because there's always more money to get. There's always better and more things to buy. And honestly, as a generation, we've become really obsessed with just getting really like bigger and better things. I mean, I feel like there's an iPhone out every month. Like there's a new iPhone every month that just gets bigger and better, right? And eventually you're going to need to get the better ones because you'll no longer be content with these older ones because you'll see how it gets better. Right? And that's why money won't satisfy you, is because there's always more. There's always better. There's always another promotion. Right, you'll never truly be satisfied because there's no end. You'll never reach the end. The only way to be truly content is to find your satisfaction in something that doesn't get any better. And when you look at the scriptures for yourself, when you see Jesus truly for yourself, you'll see that it doesn't get any better and that you could be content with him. And so, following God, what is the gain of being content, right? Because it says contentment is gain. What is the gain? And honestly, they are immeasurable, and I would encourage you to take the time to think about it for yourself, but like Paul, you could learn to be content in all circumstances. Imagine that. It would lead you to being happy and living content with God for the rest of your life. And this last little point here is 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. It says, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Right? What an amazing place to be, right? Imagine if you could just be happy with some food and some clothing, right? It reminds me, just last Sunday, the campus ministry, we have what we call street team. And basically, what we do is we just go and we make sandwiches, and then we went into Newark and just tried to serve the community, you know, tried to help serve the poor. And you know, Phil had asked me to preach last Sunday before we started doing this, and I wasn't sure what I was really going to talk about. And as we're walking around, this idea to talk about contentment for the sermon came, because as we're walking around and talking to some of these people, we ended up meeting this man named Duke, and he had very little with him. And, you know, we gave him this lame turkey sandwich, and he was just so genuinely glad. And he was happy. And then Faith asked him, hey, like, we're a part of this community, we're from this church, and do you know Jesus? And he says, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I could feel him in this room. And I saw this, and I said, I was thinking to myself, how could I complain about not having enough? Right, just spending time about this helped me learn to be more content. And I appreciated the things that I have more because of this. Right, because you become happy when you're not always striving for the next best thing. Right, like this man, he was just genuinely happy. And now I think that's part of the reason why God has his people serve the poor. It's because it teaches us to be grateful, and it teaches us to be satisfied with what we do have. And it teaches us contentment with what God has already given us. And people who are more content are the ones who serve others. Right? And the Bible teaches that those who serve are the great in the kingdom of God. And, you know, if I were to have you walk away with just one thing, it would be take delight in God. Learn to be happy with what God has given you because of their surpassing worth of just what it means to know him. And I guarantee you that he is better than what you have been trying to satisfy yourself with. And to kind of close out here, I want to circle back to this first scripture that we looked at. And we'll just start from verse 12. It says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or plenty or in want. I could do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul says he's learned the secret of being content in all circumstances and ends with, I could do all this through him who gives me strength. You know, this scripture is something that you see in a lot of people's like Instagram bios or like exercise ads. I could do all things. But what's cool about this scripture is that the context is that Paul's being really mistreated. He's in prison. He is down in the dumps. And he says, I could do all this. He could endure all of this because of God, because he has his delight in God. I could do all things in the context of being in any type of circumstance. Whatever circumstance it is, insisting that in every conceivable circumstance, in every and any situation, he finds the strength with his union with Christ, and that would be enough for the spread of the gospel. That's why he could be content, is that God would satisfy this. And Paul, like us, he's just a man. He's not like a Superman disciple. He's just a man. And he just had immense confidence that God could match any situation. And this statement could also be true today for every Christian because of that. You know, God can match any and every situation you're in. But it starts with knowing he can. It starts with taking your delight in God. Imagine if, as a church, we could be one that is content and joyful no matter the circumstances. A church, you know, that would just catch the eye of the world, wouldn't it? If a church could just endure all things. If a church could be delight, take delight in any circumstance. That's the peace that transcends understanding, because it doesn't really make sense. But God wants to be your everything. And so let's just be a church that's committed to making God our everything. God, thank you so much for letting me preach today. I hope this was helpful.